Welcome to the latest KleptoCast, the podcast series of Hudson Institute's Kleptocracy Initiative. Every few weeks, we delve into issues of kleptocracy around the world, how they affect us, and what Western policymakers can do about it. The Chinese government recently announced that it would set up new supervision commissions in an effort to build a state anti-corruption organ that will integrate separate government anti-graft forces and cover all public servants. The commissions are to be set up in Beijing and the provinces of Shanxi and Zhejiang as pilot programs first, and then implemented nationally later. Today I'm joined by Professor Mingxin Pei of Claremont McKenna College, author of the recently released China's Crony Capitalism, Dynamics of Regime Decay. We're going to discuss what changes we should expect from these new supervision commissions and what they mean for China's anti-corruption campaign. So, Professor Pei, could you give us a bit of background on how existing anti-corruption agencies work in China?
Okay. Right now, China has only one real anti-corruption agency, that is the Discipline and Inspection Committees at all levels of the Chinese government. There is nominally a state supervisory agency. The Chinese word is Jiancabu, but its staff are the same as those working in the Discipline Inspection Committees. So there's really one agency, and that's a Discipline Inspection Committee. And that committee, there's central level committee, provincial committee, city level committee, and county level committee. So there are four levels, and they each have different jurisdictions. If you're a county level committee, you only investigate cases within the county, and so on and so forth. The problem with the current system that is that it is very opaque. You really do not know how it works. They do not give press conferences. They do not release the proceedings are completely opaque. And the approval process is also opaque. You don't know how a case gets investigated while another case does not get investigated. So right now, but this is what they have today.
I see. So since Xi Jinping has initiated his anti-corruption campaign, have we seen any changes to the functions and powers of these agencies?
I think there were several important changes, both regarding these agencies and irrelevant or regarding other complementary methods. Regarding these agencies, I've noticed several important changes. One is that in the past, a lower level inspection committee, CDI, Committee for Discipline Inspection, did not have to report to a higher level the cases it decided not to investigate, because the Chinese government or the Communist Party is worried that there's a lot of cover-up going on. Another important change is that at the provincial level, the central government, the central committee, actually appoints the head of the provincial discipline inspection committee from outside. They would put in an outsider to head that committee. For example, if you're in Shanxi, the committee can be direct. Can be appointed. The head of the committee will be somebody from Shanghai, from another province. The objective is to prevent cover-ups, because in the past, if you're a local official and you head that committee, you protect your cronies. So that's an important change. But the government has also put in place something called the roving inspection teams. And those teams are ad hoc inspection teams sent to different provinces, state-owned enterprises, universities, directly by the Central Discipline Inspection Committee. And they go there unannounced. They have the power to interview individuals separately, privately. So they want to gain information that normally they cannot gain. So these are all the measures they put in place. Whether they're effective or not, we do not know. But if I have to make a quick judgment, on balance, they are more effective than what went on before these changes were made.
What are the objectives of this new pilot program they plan to introduce in Beijing, Shanxi, and Zhejiang?
Well, they want to create an agency that is now under the supervision, again, I've read the draft, under the supervision of the People's Congress, that they want to bring in, if that is their real objective, they want to bring in some kind of supervision by another body, that is the local People's Congress. This is, again, very, I've tried to find the full document. I cannot. I can only find references, summaries, a summary of this document. So a lot actually remains unknown about the details of this pilot program.
Considering, you know, there's not much details known about this program, do you see any potential for success, or do you see really a big flaw that could come of these programs?
I see big flaws. I think this is another very symbolic move that has no substance. Let me explain why. First of all, it does not even have legal authority. This is issued by the Central General Office, which has no, actually, if you look at the Chinese Constitution, it really does not have any constitutional role in making major institutional changes, because the pilot program is supposed to be set up under the People's Congress at all levels. A party agency cannot really direct the People's Congress to do anything. So you need a law to establish a proper law, legislation, to establish the authority and define the power, the function of this new pilot program. So I right away, I see the person, whoever designed this pilot program needs some basic legal education in Chinese constitutional law. Second, that I see that this does not solve the problem of independence. That is, we know that local People's Congress is effectively controlled by the Communist Party. So how can you gain credibility by placing this new agency, this new supervisory agency, under a legal entity that is controlled by a political entity? And third, that it is supposed to work with the discipline inspection committees. Again, without knowing any details, I do not know how their relationship is going to be defined, and what kind of authority this new body may have over the working of the discipline inspection committee. So a lot remains unknown, and what is known suggests that it is highly unlikely to be successful.
So going off of the fact that there's no legal basis for these programs and there's so many major flaws, why do you think the government made it a point to make this announcement that it's testing out these pilot programs?
I think the government is responding to the demand, the popular demand, that it makes important institutional changes in the current anti-corruption system. And so somebody in Beijing thought that this could do the job. It is not really a very serious attempt to address the issue of the lack of autonomy of China's existing anti-corruption system. So I think that is the real, the part of the motivations for setting up this new pilot program.
Okay, so moving on to our last question, What does this new initiative signal about the direction that the anti-corruption campaign is headed? And what do you think U.S. policymakers should be cognizant of in terms of this pilot program?
Well, I frankly think that with this new pilot program, probably we see the a sign that the campaign style anti-corruption effort that has been going on for the last 4 years may be coming to an end. This might be, in my reading, this might be a signal that in the future we'll have less campaign, fewer campaigns, but we'll rely more on established agencies to do their job. For the U.S., I do not know what the U.S. Should be concerned with in terms of such a program. This program, frankly, does not have a dimension, an external dimension, that is, based on the summary of the program, it does not call for any external collaboration or cooperation. So, yes, policymakers probably should not pay too much attention to this pilot program.
Okay, well, that's all the questions we have for today. Professor Pei, thanks so much for your insights, and we look forward to welcoming you to Hudson Institute soon.
Thank you.
As mentioned earlier, Professor Pei is author of the recently released China's Crony Capitalism. We will be hosting a book discussion with him and a distinguished panel of China experts at Hudson Institute in Washington, D.C. on December 14th. You can register to attend or watch the live stream at hudson.org. Meanwhile, don't forget to visit kleptocracyinitiative.org or follow KI on Twitter at kleptocracyintv.